I realize and recognize, like, I want to do his laundry. And I've actually stopped, I think about it, like, why do I want to do his laundry? Because it's a way for me to extend myself, that, to be quote unquote taking care of him.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to Weekly Wisdom for Parents. I'm Alicia Lyons.
And I am Melanie Soloway.
And today we want to talk about good kids and bad kids.
And for those of you that aren't watching, it's the good kid in parentheses, or not parentheses, what do you call these? Quotation marks.
Quotation marks, yeah.
The good kid or the bad kid in quotation marks, because what makes a child good?
Yep.
There's a pause there because we want to think about that, right? We even talk about the good baby when we say, oh, that we hear people say, that's such a good baby. If we hear that phrase, what do we think?
Usually that's because they're being quiet, they're not crying.
Right. The good baby doesn't cry. So if our babies never cried, would that be good, or would that be concerning?
I just jumped straight to they would die.
Right. Literally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The good baby really is the baby that if we're going to put them in a category, like, the good baby is the baby that cries, because that's the baby that's communicating with us what they need.
Yeah.
Right. And so much of our parenting really focuses on the performance of our children versus then focusing on the person.
Yeah.
Another way of putting that is how we focus on the behavior of a child versus looking at the behavior. And we just finished our parent support group, and this came up as a topic of conversation in terms of, we have parents in the group who have young kids, 5-year-olds, and then we have parent in there with an 18, almost 19-year-old. And so it doesn't really matter what the age of our kids is, because we're doing the same thing throughout their lives. And what we want to be really mindful of is, are we scaffolding and helping them to build the skills that they need to develop into full-fledged humans and to full-fledged adults that can launch? Or are we helicoptering or babying or overdoing or overprotecting and doing for them what they can and should do for themselves?
And I'll be the first to admit that with my 12-year-olds, he's for probably up until a couple of months ago, I was picking his clothes out for him. I was making his breakfast. I was literally dragging him out of bed in the morning physically, I would grab him and drag him out of bed because he's told me to, not because I'm a crazy, weird parent, but, but I maybe he liked the attention from it. I don't know, but I was literally doing that to get him out of bed. And circumstances in my life have changed a little bit where I am no longer home to do that. And so I've seen a huge shift where he is out of bed on his own,
getting dressed on his own, making his cereal on his own. Every once in a while, he still asks me to. And I will if I have the capacity for it, and I won't if I don't. He went from like me asking him, have you brushed your teeth? Have you combed your hair? Where's your backpack? Where's your shoes? All the lists to mom, I need my hairbrush because it's in my bathroom. And doing it all on his own. And it just like freed up my to-do list. It was amazing.
So, Elish, the other thing about that is because as I'm, hearing you talk about this with Xander at 12 years old, like even with Matthew, right? Like I realize and recognize, like I want to do his laundry. And I've actually stopped, I think about it, like, why do I want to do his laundry? Because it's a way for me to extend myself that, to be quote unquote taking care of him when the 17-year-old is perfectly capable of doing his own laundry. And so I actually have to stop myself from even asking him, do you have any dirty clothes? Do you want me to throw them in? And every once in a while I will, right? But because I really have to ask myself, who am I doing it for? And what is he learning? If I continue to keep doing things for him, and it is a little hard when you see your kids becoming, at least I can speak for me, I can't speak for you, I'm saying you, but really for me, it has been hard for me to watch my kid become more and more independent and need me less and less. And so it's really made me stop and think about, like, as a parent, wow, like what else was I doing for him at the younger ages that he could have potentially been doing for himself? And I was aware of it, but part of it, and I think part of why what makes him so independent is I would ask him versus me just telling him how it made me feel when he did something. I would ask him, when you did so such and such a thing, like how did that make you feel? And he would internalize, and it made him feel good. It made him feel good on the inside to be independenting. Okay, I've just made up that word, independenting, right?
Like
Becoming more,
it.
yeah, I like it. Becoming more and more independent. And it literally built his self-esteem from the inside, where he now can feel more secure in the things that he does to be the person that he is, and knows that no matter what, no matter if he tied his shirt with the buttons misbuttoned, or he didn't do his laundry on the timetable that I wanted him to do his laundry, or that I'm going to love him anyway. I'm not loving him for the performance that he's giving, right? I'm just loving the performer that he is no matter what.
And with my 12-year-old, like he's wearing a black shirt, black long sleeve shirt on the hottest day of the year so far. And I let him know, hey, you're wearing a black shirt, long sleeve on the hottest day of the year so far. It might be a good idea if you wanted to change your shirt. And leaving it at that. Because he'll learn when he goes to school and overheats that. It now we can wear the short sleeve shirts. And I
Yeah.
think that there's a lot of talk about kids that are failure to launch and this generation that's a failure to launch. But I think there's a lot of parents that are doing what you and I were doing and continuing to keep our babies for much longer than necessary and ultimately handicapping them from launching.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that you and I were talking about is, it's kind of like if a parent is riding tandem with a kid on the back, right? Or has the kid in the basket first, right? The baby in the basket on the bike. But then if you're riding tandem, then the pig can cycle, but we're still in the front seat and we're still controlling the bike. We're still controlling the steering wheel. and how important it is to not only put their kid on their own bike, but possibly put their kid on their own bike with potentially having training wheels to begin. And then if the training wheels, we take the training wheels, come off and the bike wobbles or the bike falls, what is that kid learning? Right? The kid learns how to get back up. The kid learns how to get back on the bike. And eventually the kid learns how to take that bike and ride their own road. And that is where we have to learn how to get comfortable as parents, to allow our kids to learn to ride and then allow our kids to eventually get to the point where they're riding by themselves and taking their own roads.
Yeah. I'm just, as I'm listening to you with all the bike examples, I'm like, I actually have a lot of bike trauma.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
That's a story for another time. But just, we want to let you guys know that our parent support group is at noon Pacific Standard Time on Tuesdays. Now we have a new time. You can join our Facebook group, Raising Enlightened Children, to get the Zoom link. Is there anything else that you wanted to share before we wrap up?
Yeah, and I want to say, we've changed the format a little bit. We're doing a lesson, a pre-recorded lesson inside of the group, and the lessons are really going to be around what comes up in the group, what questions or discussions come up in the group. And if you do have anything that you want to ask us ahead of time, so we could bring it in as a topic for a lesson or discussion, please just email us at info@raisingenlightenedchildren.com. And we will be certain to cover what comes up.
Sounds good. So until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.